Rational discussion, common sense, open debate. RCR, Reality Check Radio with Paul Brennan.
Good morning, Lindsay. How are you feeling? How are you feeling, Lindsay?
I'm at about the highest point of my long life in terms of how I'm feeling.
That level.
I was really worried because, like you, I thought there might be shenanigans. I well remember 4 years ago, I went to bed thinking, well, thank God for that, he's won, and got up the next day and he'd lost.
Yeah.
And all these states in which he'd been soundly ahead, he was suddenly behind by just the right number of votes.
Yeah, that was suspicious, wasn't it? And also the graph, too. I can't get that image of the graph out of my head still.
The shot?
Well, you know, the graph, when they had the graph and it suddenly plateaus and then goes backwards in this sort of weird, you know, when the vote count turned, like you were saying.
Yes, yes, yes. When you said graph, I thought you meant the immigration, illegal immigrant graph.
Oh, no, so many graphs. Oh, that one, yeah, at Butler. Yeah.
Yeah. But look, Paul, the whole world has dodged a bullet. We will now be unburdened by what has been.
I can hear that it's a great morning for you. Lindsay, should we hear how it was called on the night last night?
Oh, yes, yes, please. Yes, let's relive that glorious moment.
The Fox News Decision Desk can now officially project that Donald Trump will become the 47th president of the United States.
The former president's comeback will be complete with a win in Wisconsin, a state that he narrowly lost 4 years ago. He is now the second president in U.S. history to win non-consecutive terms. The first was Grover Cleveland in the late 1800s. Senator J.D. Vance will become the 50th vice president of the United States. Voters express deep frustration with the Biden administration, and former President Trump and the future President Trump overperformed in urban areas, particularly with men, proving that the strategy that they doubled and tripled down on over the course of the last few months absolutely succeeded and brought him back to the White House.
47th president of the United States, former President Trump, now defeats Vice President Kamala Harris, who entered this race just over 100 days ago. And for Democrats, they were projecting the possibility of running the table with battleground states. David Plouffe with the Democratic campaign of Harris campaign suggested that just yesterday. Now it is possible that Donald Trump runs the table with these states and builds on a big landslide electoral win. We don't know where the popular vote is going to finish out, but we do know that he will be going back to the White House. And with him, Brit Hume, will be a lot of changes because he will have been there once and will know what he wants to do.
You know, he often accounts for the fact that he had so much turnover in his first term, as president, by the fact that he didn't really know Washington, and he was new to this realm that he had come to win the presidency in, and he promises us that now he knows whom he wants to hire, now he knows the kind of people he wants to have around him. A lot of people are saying that means a lot of very experienced people around Washington will be ruled out, and maybe they will.
So that was the call from Fox News yesterday evening our time, and of course Lindsay went on to win the popular vote, didn't he?
Well, apparently, I don't think it's officially confirmed yet, and he also won the Senate.
Yeah,
Think as far as the House is concerned, that's still a bit murky. But to win the Senate is huge, because that means he will more readily get his nominees confirmed. So he will have the cabinet that he actually wants, to Brit Hume's point there. Last time round, both because of an obstreperous Senate and because his own choices were abysmal in some cases, Trump ended up with a thoroughly un-Trumpian cabinet. I think of Rex Tillerson, for example.
Yes.
Secretary of State. He was awful, absolutely abominable, a creature of the swamp. And there were many, many swamp creatures in there because, as Trump has explained many times, look, I'd been to Washington about 14 times in my entire life.
I think he said he hadn't even stayed a night there.
Yes, exactly. And he didn't know anyone, and he didn't have the connections. So he was reliant on advice from swamp creatures who were promoting their own, of course. Now, this time round, Trump certainly knows just how deep the swamp is and will be able to avoid making swamp appointees, and he will swamp. Be able to get them through the Senate. Now, the only worry is, if he does lose the House, the first thing they might do is impeach him, because they are the ones who do impeachment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be awfully, awfully tiresome. I'm getting the impression, though, that this time round there's not going to be the hysteria, because people are realizing it's pointless. And I think they also, if they take a step back to reflect, they know that the world didn't come to an end during his first term. We had 4 years of peace and prosperity, much, much better than the 4 years that we've had with Commie Lala and Beijing Biden, the bribed bastard. So if we just had those 4 years over again, that would be fine. But we're actually in for a much better 4 years, because Trump is so much wiser than he was then.
Interesting point you made about, you know, the perception of Trump's previous term. And when people say he's a fascist and he's, you know, destroying democracy and all that, I've had conversations with people, I'm sure you've been in the situation, around that. And I've said, well, what specifically are you talking about? There's never anything specific. Never.
No, these are people who could not define a fascist. And if they took the trouble to find out what a fascist believes, they would find they fit the category, not Trump. Trump is a believer, first and foremost. Going back to what Jonathan was saying to you, I did notice he was a little bit reluctant to commit himself on whether Trump's victory was a step forward for free speech. It's a huge step forward for free speech. Trump mentioned it at every rally. We will restore free speech.
And Elon Musk has been on the stage. What more do you need?
Elon Musk, who restored free speech to Twitter, now X, and it's a major issue for Elon Musk. I mean, there's a whole culture now of free speech that will transform the Washington milieu, one hopes, and all those people who are panicking, the best thing they can do, and the best thing actually what Trump should do this time, is what used to be done, say, look, everyone employed by the government has to resign. And in most cases, your contracts will be renewed, but in some cases, they won't be. Now, this would be an opportunity really to steal a march on draining the swamp, to kickstart the process, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Kickstart the process of draining the swamp. Have everyone resign, and we should do that here too. And I'm mindful of the fact that one of the things Trump wants to do is abolish the Department of Education and start that over from scratch. In fact, to give it all over to the states and not to have any federal involvement at all, but also to withhold federal funding from state-funded colleges, universities, schools that do not allow free speech, going back to Jonathan's point. But yes, it is a huge step forward for free speech, and I would say probably that's the number one reason. I don't have any doubts that Trump will deliver peace and prosperity, but the number one thing I'm thrilled about is free speech. Those dear boys at the Free Speech Union, you know, they all have Trump derangement syndrome, unfortunately.
Oh, do they?
But
okay.
They're all intelligent enough to know that even Trump supporters should be allowed to express their point of view, because that's what free speech is all about.
Hey, I want to play just another quick clip that from CNN, only a few seconds. Them kind of, or one of their commentators, didn't get the name, but, you know, all the CNN heads are there. And he had this to say.
This is a mandate. He's won the national popular vote for the first time since, for a Republican, for the first time since 2004. This is a big deal. This isn't backing into the office. This is a mandate to do what you said you were going to do. get the economy working again for regular working class Americans, fix immigration, try to get crime under control, try to reduce the chaos in the world. This is a mandate from the American people to do that. I think I'm interpreting the results tonight as the revenge of just the regular old working class American, the anonymous American who has been crushed, insulted, condescended to. They're not garbage. They're not Nazis. They're just regular people who get up and go to work every day and are trying to make a better life for their kids. And they feel like they have been told to just shut up when they have complained about the things that are hurting them in their own lives. I also feel like this election, as we sit here and pore over this tonight, is something of an indictment of the political information complex. I mean, we've been sitting around here for the last couple of weeks, and the story that was portrayed was not true. I mean, we were told Puerto Rico was going to change the election. Liz Cheney, Nikki Haley voters, women lying to their husbands. Before that, it was Tim Walz in the camo hats. Night after night after night, we were told all these things and gimmicks were going to somehow push Harris over the line. And we were just ignoring the fundamentals. Inflation, people feeling like that they were barely able to tread water at best. That was the fundamentals of the election. And so I think that both parties should always look at the results of an election and figure out what went right and what went wrong. But I think for all of us who cover elections and talk about elections and do this on a day-to-day basis, we have to figure out how to understand, talk to, and listen to the half of the country that rose up tonight and said, we've had enough.
Wow. And you couldn't hear a pin drop, Lindsay, as he was saying that.
No doubt. If that's one of CNN's regular contributors, I doubt that he will be contributing.
Yeah, goodbye.
But look, it was so funny because I was moving back and forward between Fox and CNN, partly because watching the faces of the CNN anchormen and women was such a sadistic delight for me. They looked as though they were sniffing excrement, and then they wouldn't call it. And it got to the point where Bibi and Keir Starmer and the Secretary General of NATO had tweeted their congratulations to Trump on his win, and CNN was still refusing to acknowledge that he had won. They were saying he was poised to clinch the presidency. Oh, dear. CNN, I mean, what a come down from where they used to be. They were indeed the most trusted name in news about 30 years ago, and I watched them all the
Me
time
too.
Thinking
yep.
they were exemplary, and they were exemplary, but they've just become the propaganda, a propaganda arm, along with most of the rest of the Marxist media maggotry, a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, or in the case of New Zealand, Labour. And the Shoplifters Party.
I noticed also the reporting here in New Zealand mainstream was very pro-Kamala. Obviously, you'd expect that. But there seemed to be a dearth, though, of reporting. They had reporters over there, but there wasn't much material here. Like, it was being played down or just assumed that it wasn't of interest to New Zealanders. I don't know if you got that impression. That's the impression I got.
Well, I saw the account on Stuff of the Madison Square Garden rally, and it began with the words, for a Nazi rally, it was enjoyable for a while. Now, that is not reportage. That is straight-out opinion, and it's bloody stupid, mindless, asinine opinion as well. And this is on the front page of Stuff, the Post, whatever they call it. Of course, it's in Māori. Now,
right.
But that's completely unconscionable that anyone would pass that off as journalism. Now, if they want to publish advocacy, they have a right to do it, as per your discussion with Jonathan. But let them call it that and not be given government money to purvey that propaganda. So, yes, no, the coverage here, what I saw of it, because I didn't go out of my way to see
me
what
either.
They were saying. But when that article began with, for a Nazi rally, it was quite enjoyable for a while. That is complete, to use Biden's term, of his opponents garbage.
As it relates to here, Lindsay, you might have mentioned this before, but just occurring to me now, do you think this Trump win gives many of us who tend to not speak up or make our points clear and just avoid things, does it give us permission now to go a bit harder on, you know, calling for some sensible, common sense things to, you know, the Western civilization is defined on, let's say, to continue to be debated? Does it give us some sort of permission to go harder?
Well, yes, of course, but we shouldn't need it. And that's an indictment of us, or more particularly an indictment of those people who know better but do not speak out and allow this nonsense to occur. The idea, for instance, that men can have babies, or men menstruate, and all the absolute nonsense, the travesty of common sense, as you say, that has gone on. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people should be saying this is nonsense, and in the name of free speech, you're allowed to say it, but we're allowed to say, no, men can't have babies. So, yes, of course, I think the cowardly will be, I hope, emboldened, but they should never have been cowardly in the first instance. The way we went along with the Wuhan tyranny of Jacinda Jihadi Jackboot, that was unconscionable. That was appalling. That was shameful, a shameful episode in the history of our nation. So, yes, I hope now people will feel emboldened, but my overall comment would be to say you should never have been silent to begin with, and don't ever be silent again.
I've got one more clip, Lindsay, that I want to run too. I know you've had your clips. I've got some in mind. Just on, you know, the people feeling euphoric, obviously, in the United States, and maybe some here at this Trump victory. Recently, and talking about draining swamps, recently he mentioned Mike Pompeo. And he seems to still have quite a high opinion of Mike Pompeo. Here's what Julian Assange said about Mike Pompeo.
It is now a matter of public record that under Pompeo's explicit direction, the CIA drew up plans to kidnap and to assassinate me within the Ecuadorian embassy in London, and authorized going after my European colleagues, subjecting us to theft, hacking attacks, and the planting of false information. My wife and my infant son were also targeted. A CIA asset was permanently assigned to track my wife, and instructions were given to obtain DNA from my six-month-old son's nappy. This is the testimony of more than 30 current and former US intelligence officials speaking to the US press, which has been additionally corroborated by records seized in a prosecution brought against some of the CIA agents involved. The CIA's targeting of myself, my family, and my associates through aggressive extrajudicial and extraterritorial means provides a rare insight into how powerful intelligence organizations engage in transnational repression.
Yeah, okay, so Mike Pompeo, if he still mates with Donald Trump, we're not out of the woods yet necessarily, are we?
No, I hope they're not still mates. Alas, I think they are. It was Pompeo who blocked Trump from doing what he had promised to do, that is to say, release all the remaining unreleased papers on the JFK assassination. It was Pompeo, who was then the head of the CIA, who persuaded or dissuaded Trump from doing that. This time round, Trump has said, the hell with it, I'm going to release them all. But of course, what those papers will reveal is CIA complicity in the assassination of JFK. I don't doubt there is CIA complicity in the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, and he still has to be very, very careful. So I hope Pompeo is not in the mix. No argument from me on that.
All right, so what are the takeouts, Lindsay? What are the takeouts? That's the term they use, isn't it?
Well, I haven't seen a man beat a woman that badly since the Olympics.
Okay.
And if you find that offensive, you must lean into your discomfort.
I find it funny, Anthony.
Lean into your discomfort.
I'm leaning in right now. In fact, I'm almost falling off the chair. I'm leaning in so hard. Yep. Anything else?
Take out, I think that it ultimately, when common sense was almost terminally challenged, it rebounded. And we're back to only women can get pregnant. It may seem like a trivial and obvious
thing. It's not. Believe me, it's not.
When you attack common sense at so fundamental a level, then that it paves the way for fascism and Nazism and all the rest of it. The myths that had to be believed for Hitler to triumph were on a par with men can have babies if the government decrees that it is so.
Yep.
You know, George Orwell, 1984, 2 + 2 = 5, if we tell you that that is the case and if we say it often enough. So, yes, I think we can go back to normal, and that's why I would urge all the snowflakes and all the hysterics and all the wokesters, just calm down, just keep your trap shut for a little while and watch what happens, because nothing bad will happen. And we can go back to normal life. And that would be good. After these 4 years of insanity, just normalcy would be good.
What does Commie Lala go and do now?
Commie Lala, well, notably, she who made such a thing of her claim that Trump wouldn't accept the results of a loss, she doesn't appear to be able to accept that she has lost. I've got Fox on to my right in the lounge here. She's not conceded yet.
Wow.
But I think it's gone too far. I don't think they can try any shenanigans. They may have had all sorts of phony ballots lined up, but I think it would be so obvious if they did that again.
Well, people were looking this time, Lindsay. People were out there looking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And also the whole world has accepted that he's won. He's it. He's the 47th president. So let's just get on with it.
All right. As you like to do at the end of your perspective, Lindsay, you like to go out on a deep and meaningful, connected item of music, piece of music. What are we going out on this morning, do you think?
Well, I should perhaps say before we go to that, that the whole reason for Trump's victory is that I put on my lucky T-shirt yesterday.
Oh, well, thank you. The world thanks you.
You either love Mario Lanza or you're wrong.
That one. Okay.
He, of course, hailed from Philadelphia, and he was the son of legal Italian immigrants.
Right.
He was also the favorite singer of Elvis Presley.
Yep.
I think we'll go out with Elvis and his magnificent live performance of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank you, Lindsay. Have a great day. I know you will.
Will do.
Oh, I wish I was in a land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Sing it, fellas.
Oh, I wish I was in Dixie, away. Dixieland's where I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Glory, glory,
Don't you cry. You know your daddy's bound to die. But all my trials, Lord, soon be over.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.